Our scripture reading this evening is taken from Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we begin reading at verse 17. You'll notice that the Beatitudes in some way are found in two different places, the Sermon on the Mount and Matthew 5, and also what is called very often the Sermon on the Plain as recorded in Luke. They were not presented necessarily at the same occasion, but at different times, and so they're a little bit different than they are in Matthew, but they come down to the same thing. So let's read from Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. He went down with them, that is Jesus, he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. And looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." So far the reading of God's holy word. Went to pay a special attention to the second part of verse 21. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And then also verse 25, the second part. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will weep, or you will mourn and weep. As you know, I dealt with the first beatitude some time ago. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And our text for this evening is the second beatitude in Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, life, I'm sure you'll agree, is a mixture of smiles and tears, laughter and crying, happiness and sorrow. And I suppose if we had a choice, we would choose a life of laughter and a life of happiness rather than a life of tears and crying and sorrow. But now Jesus says to us this evening, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. Now you may recall from the first sermon on the Beatitudes that some translate the word blessed as being happy. But in the Greek language, it means so much more. Happiness or being happy depends so much on the outward circumstances. For example, if things go well in our life, whether it's our health, whether it's our financial situation, or whether it's work in our family, and then we're happy. But if we are sick with cancer and unemployed or suffer from a drought, then we're not so happy. So it all depends on the circumstances, whether we're happy or not happy. But the happiness or the blessedness that Jesus is talking about in our text does not depend upon circumstances. When Jesus uses the word blessed, he has in mind the highest possible kind of happiness that anyone can have. He's talking about that inner spiritual joy, that peace, that contentment that fills your heart, no matter what the circumstances. David uses that word blessed in Psalm 32, for example, where he says, blessed, that is, happy is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now, beloved, that makes sense, does it not? If you think about David who had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, certainly he would be happy that the holy God forgave him when he confessed his sins. But now in our text, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. How can you be happy when you lost your husband or your wife? How can Jesus say to his parents whose children, the ages 12, 11, and 8, died in a boating accident July 4 in Long Island? Maybe you heard about that on the news. Can you imagine Jesus saying to their parents, blessed are you who mourn? Jesus says in Luke, he says, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And in verse 25 in Luke, he says the exact reverse. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. And when you read this for the first time, you ask yourself, how ridiculous. If there's one thing we try to avoid in life, is that anything that brings sadness and sorrow. And so the question is, should we be walking around with long, sad, tear-stained faces? Blessed are those who mourn. And so this evening, let's discover what Jesus really means. And so our theme is weep or laugh, which is it? And we first of all, we'll look at a difference in attitude between those who believe and those who do not believe. And then secondly, a difference in the results. Now let me say at the very outset, as I did with the first beatitude, this second beatitude also must be regarded as being spiritual in nature. When we dealt with the first beatitude, we said that to be poor in spirit had nothing to do with financial or economic poverty. Instead, being poor in spirit refers to our spiritual poverty, our unworthiness before God. And so also in this particular beatitude, Jesus is not telling us that it's wrong to grieve for the loss of a loved one or to shed tears when we're hurting inside. He's not saying that we should never laugh. What Jesus is saying here is this, that what our attitude should be in regards to sin and the misery in the world. God is holy. God is holy. God does not tolerate sin. Not even one sin. God is so displeased with sin that He sent forth His Son, as we said this morning. Born of a virgin. He sent Him forth in this sinful, miserable world with the sole purpose to bear God's wrath against your and my sin. That's how serious God takes sin. And now the question is, what should be our attitude towards sin? Do we really weep or do we laugh about the sin that we commit? Which is it? Well, Jesus says in this beatitude, blessed, happiness in the deepest possible sense, that inner spiritual joy is found in those people who mourn because of their sin. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, there the apostle makes a distinction between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. He says, godly sorrow, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 7, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. You see, godly sorrow is a God-centered sorrow. And such sorrows, as the Apostle Paul, leads to repentance, it leads to a confession of our sins. That was the case with David. When he was confronted by the prophet Nathan about his sin, then he expressed a repentance. It led him to confession of his sin. Worldly sorrow, on the other hand, is self-centered. It's the person is only concerned about his own actions, how they hurt himself. He regrets that he had made a bad choice because it got him into trouble. He's not troubled by the fact that he grieved God. No, he's troubled by the fact that it caught him in trouble with the law. For example, that's the kind of sorrow that Esau displayed. He regretted that he had sold his birthright. But really, it didn't bother himself that much, but he grieved. He wasn't troubled that he had grieved his covenant God, but only that he had missed out on the blessings of being the firstborn, the double portion that the firstborn would receive. We also see this difference in attitude. We see it in the life of two of Jesus' disciples, Peter and Judas. You'll recall how Peter denied Jesus in Matthew 26. At one point in Caesarea Philippi, Peter had boasted and had made this beautiful confession about Jesus. And he had said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But then not long afterward, when Jesus was arrested, the same Peter swore with an oath. He said, "I don't know that man. I don't know that man." And then God used the beak of a rooster in order to draw Peter's attention to his sin. And almost at the same time as the rooster crowed, Jesus' eyes looked locked upon the eyes of Peter. And Peter realized what he had done. And what does Peter do? Does he laugh? Or does he mourn? Well, we read he wept bitterly. He had a genuine sorrow. He had a godly sorrow. And that's the kind of mourning Jesus has in mind when he expresses in this beatitude, "Blessed are those who mourn because of their sin." For such mourning, as the Apostle Paul says, produces repentance, as it did in the case of Peter, and it leads to salvation. But then you have Judas. We read in Matthew 27, verse 3, that this, "When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse, and he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, and he said, 'I have sinned, but I have betrayed innocent blood.'" Now the question is, was his remorse a godly sorrow? Or was it like Esau, then he merely regretted what he had done because of what it had done to himself, its guilt? Well, the test is, did his sorrow lead to repentance? Did Judas get on his knees and pray to God for forgiveness of his sin? Well, you look in Scripture and you don't find anywhere that Judas repented of his sin. Instead, he hanged himself. He committed suicide. And very often when people are caught in sin, that's exactly what they do. They put a gun to their head. His sin, in Paul's word, led to death and destruction. And so in Peter and in Judas, we see the sharp difference in the attitude towards sin. But as always, the best example is found in Jesus. Blessed are those who mourn. Now look at Jesus Himself. We are renewed in His image, and we're challenged to be like Him, to imitate Him. Now let me ask you, do you read anywhere in the Bible that Jesus laughed? Nothing is recorded that He ever laughed. That doesn't mean that He never laughed. I believe He did. I believe that in His youth and as a child, He laughed and enjoyed Himself. I'm sure that at the wedding at Cana, He laughed. There were humorous moments in His life, such as when He saw that little man, Zacchaeus, hiding among the leaves in a sycamore tree in order to get a glimpse of Jesus. I can just imagine Jesus laughing and smiling. But in the inspired Word of God, nowhere do you read that He laughed. But we do read that He wept. He cried. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah already had prophesied that the Messiah would be a man of sorrows. Someone who would be acquainted with grief. Jesus suffered emotionally and mental pain from His own people, the Jews, who despised and rejected Him. Even His own disciples caused Him grief. Thomas doubted His resurrection. Judas betrayed Him. Peter denied Him, as we already said. Jesus suffered physically, but especially on the cross, when He was forsaken by God, His Father, He suffered mentally in His soul, the agony. Just Jesus was acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrows. And on at least two occasions, we read in Scripture that Jesus wept. He wept at the graveside of Lazarus. Shortest verse in the Bible, chapter 11. He wept. Now, why did Jesus weep? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why did Jesus weep at the graveside of Lazarus? Read in John 11, verse 33, that He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Now, why was Jesus so upset? Why was He so troubled that He wept? Certainly it was more than just sympathy for his friends, Mary and Martha. After all, He knew that in a few minutes, Lazarus would be raised from the grave. So why should He cry? Well, He wept, I believe. Because in the death of Lazarus, and the grief that it caused Lazarus' sisters, He saw the ugliness. He saw the destructive power of sin. And He mourned. He wept. The other time that Jesus wept was on Palm Sunday, as He approached Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And right there in the midst of this jubilant crowd cheering Him on, He breaks out in sobs and in tears, Luke 19, verse 41. The Greek word used in that particular context suggests a very strong emotion, such as the heaving of the bosom. He was sobbing, He was crying of a soul that was deep in agony. You see, it wasn't just a few tears in the corner of His eyes. But He burst out in tears. He wept. And so try to picture God Himself, God the Son, crying. But again, you ask yourself, why did Jesus weep? When everybody was jubilant as He entered into Jerusalem. Why weep? Well, because He knew that this city with the beautiful temple as its centerpiece would be completely destroyed
and her citizens would be killed and scattered over the face of the earth. And of course, that's exactly what happened in the year 70 AD. And again, the reason that Jesus wept, because the judgment on Jerusalem and her destruction was because of sin. And their rejection of Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. You see, everywhere where Jesus walked during those 33 years while he was on earth, he saw the misery, he saw the consequences, the results of sin. He saw the devil at work in Jerusalem. He saw how the world had entered the church of his time. He saw how the spiritual leaders were false shepherds and false prophets, misleading and deceiving the sheep. Don't think for a minute that this didn't bother Jesus. After all, he was holy. He was pure. He was God in the flesh. You see, and when he looked and watched that sin, all this cut like a knife in his sinless heart. And for that reason, he mourned, he wept. He was a man of sorrows. He was a man acquainted with grief because of the sin and the evil all around him. And so by Jesus' example, he teaches us what our attitude should be towards sin. Like him, it should trouble us. At the end of each day, I approach the throne of God. And then I mourn inside of me at times because of the sin that I've committed that day. Maybe it was a flash of anger or being jealous at someone or the questions and doubts and the worries because of a lack of faith in God's promises. Or because the things that I should have done but didn't do. The fact that I allowed opportunity to slip by when I should have stood up and defended His name. The time that I patted myself on the back when I should have praised and give all the credit and the glory to God. I believe that's what Jesus meant when he said, "Blessed are those who mourn." Who mourn because they're conscious, they're aware of their sinful thoughts and their sinful deeds and their sinful words that hurt our Father in heaven and our Savior and grieve the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And so it boils down to this, beloved. What is our attitude towards sin? But there is more. Jesus, of course, himself never committed a sin. So he didn't mourn because of his own sin. But he mourned because of all the destructive forces of sin and the evil surrounding him. And we should not only mourn for the sins that we personally commit, but also the sin of the evil in the world around us. In Psalm 119, verse 136, we read, "Rivers of waters run down my eyes. Rivers of water run down my eyes. Why? Because men do not keep your law." Beloved, today in our society, God's law is violated left and right. The hatred, the murder, the divorce, the homosexuality, the abortion. And you ask yourself, are there tears streaming down our eyes? Does it hurt you deep inside when someone misuses the name of God? When someone misuses the name of our Savior, when someone swears and he says, "God damn," or "go to hell," does that give a shiver down your spine? Do you mourn for a relative or a friend or a neighbor who rejects Jesus as Savior? And unless he repents or he or she repents, that they will spend eternity in hell?
Do you mourn because, and I know, you know, abortion weighs very heavy on my heart, and my wife and I, we've been involved in the right to life for decades. But do you mourn because every day babies are being aborted? Which, in my opinion, is a slap in the face of our Creator God. You see, the danger is, beloved, that we can become so immune and so insensitive to things that they no longer bring tears to our eyes. If our own sins and the swearing and filthy language, the explicit immoral scenes and movies and words of lowly songs that mock God, if these things no longer trouble us, then I believe there's something wrong with our attitude towards sin. Sin in any form should grieve us because of sin. The world today is on fire with hatred. We see it in Syria. We see it in Egypt, in Afghanistan, in Iran. Just as Jesus wept over Jerusalem, we weep because of this destructive power of sin in the world today, the terrible judgment that awaits the world because they reject Jesus. And they will be judged when Jesus comes again. You see, instead of mourning, the world today laughs. The world's attitude is, laugh now. Have fun while you can. Don't take sin all that serious. Life is too short to go about moping about your sin. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up. Do whatever you feel like. Whatever gives you pleasure. Do drugs or drink. Engage in premarital sex or extramarital affairs. Same-sex marriage. So what? We live, after all, in the 21st century. That's what the world says. The dirtier the movie, the louder the people laugh. The filthier the language, the better it is. The prophet Jeremiah says in chapter 8, verse 12, he says, are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? And then the prophet answers his own question and he continues. He says, no, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Beloved, that could be said of our society today. People are no longer ashamed of their nudity. They no longer blush when they talk about very intimate things. They don't get beat red when they hear someone swearing or using filthy language. Some even boast of their sinful behavior. And they'll ridicule you when you say that what they're doing is sin. And they'll say, you're too narrow-minded. You're intolerant. You see, that's the attitude of the world. Laugh now. So one person mourns because of their sin and the sin around them. The other laughs about their sin. You see, it reflects a difference in attitudes. But ultimately, the difference in attitude reveals the state of a person's heart. This is what separates the believers from the unbelievers. It reveals the antithesis that exists between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. It shows us a difference between the antithesis between the citizens of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness. You cannot do both. On the one hand, mourn for your sin. On the other hand, laugh along with the world. It's either or. Weep or laugh. Which is it? Secondly, what is the result of those who mourn? Or to put it another way, why are those who mourn, why are they blessed? And why are those who laugh now robbed of this blessing? Since I want to end this message on a positive note, let us deal first of all with those who laugh now.
Those who are only interested in the here and now and have no concern for the future. Those who worship sports instead of joining God's people and worship Him in His house. Those who seldom or never mourn because of their sin and the evil in the world. They're like Esau and Judas, who they didn't regret their bad choices that they made, which got them into trouble, which is a worldly sorrow, a man-centered sorrow. And now Jesus says of these kind of people, He says in Luke 6:25, woe to those who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. You see, all the worldly fun and laughter on this side of the grave is short-lived. Because at the hour of death, the laughter will stop. And they will open their eyes in hell. And the Bible says, in hell, there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. They will weep because of the agony, the aloneness, the forever being separated from the fellowship of God. Woe to those who laugh now, for they shall weep. They will weep. But oh, the blessedness, oh, the joy and the peace of those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Those who, like Peter, have a godly, God-centered sorrow, those who have a Christ-like attitude towards sin, those who mourn and weep because of their sin and their constant failure to glorify God, those who mourn as they witness the destructive power of sin all around them in the world today, those who are convicted of their sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will flee to their Savior and they'll ask for forgiveness, and behold, God forgives them like He did David. Blessed. Happy are those who mourn now, who mourn, which leads them to salvation, to repentance. And not only that, but when we repent, then Christ encourages us with the promise that when life on earth is done, we will open our eyes in heaven and we'll see Jesus. We'll see Jesus. As I mentioned this morning, you know, we watched this program by Barbara Walters, 2 hours on heaven, where is it and what it is like and so forth. And all the people she interviewed and so forth, they all said, well, we'll meet with our relatives. You know, we'll meet with those that have gone on before us. Well, the most important thing, beloved, is to see Jesus. It's to see our Savior who died for our sins. And then we read in the Bible that those who mourn because of their sin, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. When I read that in Scripture, in fact, I have a sermon with that theme. I think of God with a Kleenex in His hands, wiping away the tears from those who are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ from their eyes. In heaven on the new earth, there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more persecution, no more hatred, no more natural disaster. There will be no more war. Instead, there will be absolute peace. There will be peace with God. There will be peace between mankind. Peace in man's soul. Peace between man and nature. Oh, blessed are those who weep now. For in heaven and on the new earth, they will laugh. They will laugh. Now, I don't want to leave you tonight with the impression that those who mourn are people who walk around all day with a long, sad face. People who mourn because of their sin are not people who walk around in black clothes, or people who are depressed because of their sin. Yes, those who mourn
are those who are turned off by all the ungodliness in the world. They don't minimize sin. They call sin for what it is. They fight it. But they rejoice. They rejoice in the fact that their sins are forgiven and washed clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he looks forward with confidence with that glorious future that awaits him. And so he's the person who mourns because of his sin. He's a happy person. He's a content person. But he doesn't find pleasure in the worldly things, but he finds lasting joy in Jesus Christ. And he delights in doing God's will. The psalmist says, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Tear like raindrops fall to the ground, and they come up as flowers. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are you who weep now because of your sin, but you shall laugh. So weep or laugh. It's one or the other. Which is it in your life? Amen. Almighty God and Father, we come to you and we give thanks for your word, O Lord. And Heavenly Father, we do pray that indeed, Lord, we mourn because we so often grieve you and we hurt you with our sins. But at the same time, Father, we rejoice knowing that you are a merciful God and that you graciously forgive us all our sins. When we confess them, they're erased through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.